وسلم يا المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي وانفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا أنفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين أيها الناس السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So I first apologize for anyone who joined last week's Hanukkah, the abrupt ending, because unfortunately I forgot to bring the charger and everything. Allah accept and forgive, and please forgive us on our part. This topic that we've been doing for the past couple of years, think about this is our fourth year now, it needs no introduction. These are the blessed characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and why I just wanted to remind myself and everyone here that in these types of gatherings, I never really want a lot of people anyways. You know, like we generally get a few, a couple of people that come for the Hanukkahs, alhamdulillah. But I'd rather these gatherings become smaller, because the niyyah should be more pure. And the pure intention is what? That the people who are sitting here are only to appreciate the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're only here to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to increase our muhabba for him. That's the first intention for everyone here, that our muhabba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam increases. The second thing is that if we hear any characteristics that we have already, that we have something of it, know that you only have a drop in the ocean of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq, and I can improve on what I have. That's one thing. If you hear something, oh yeah, I have that, Mawlana, that's great. MashaAllah, may Allah increase you, increase me, because this is just a sample of what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have. And the third most important one is that if we hear something that we don't have, and it might be something that I feel like I'm doing right, but know that anything that we're doing, that we think we're doing right, in contrast to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is always wrong. If Nabi sallallahu alaihi is doing something opposite to ourselves, then we have to tell ourselves, "Ya Allah, please forgive me that my characteristic isn't like that. And I wish that I was nicer and softer like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." When you sit with these types of niyat and intentions, you'll see that the beauty of this shama'il will come out. That everyone's own beautiful characteristics will come out, inshallah. So we are up to, mashallah, I think if brothers or sisters are first joining, we're up to chapter 48. So, people are like, whoa, what do we do? You know, no, alhamdulillah, time flies, and if you're consistent, mashallah, you make progress. I thought I would be able to finish it this year, but I'm looking at the material, and I'm like, nah, I wouldn't be right. Maybe we just push it one more year, if Allah Ta'ala wills, inshallah, maybe in a nicer setting than just the virus, whatever, right? Allah Ta'ala knows best. So, inshallah, without further ado, we'll get started on this chapter, inshallah. I'm getting more and more people as we're speaking. So, this is the chapter 48 is the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bab ma ja'a fi khuluqi Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a chapter about the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The essence of shama'il is in this, which is amazing, because the entire rest of the book, it covers the external aspects of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he used to eat, how he used to sleep, how he used to walk alayhi salatu wasalam, how he used to do all these things. So this is really what you're coming for. When you come to shama'il, you really want to know about the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So mashallah, we join in on a very nice day. It's a Monday as well. Right, it's the day when the Prophet was born as well, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so certain things that when you're listening to these things, note that this is going to be about the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not during bayan. Okay, bayan has his own chapter. It was a previous chapter. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave bayan, you know that his eyes used to become red, his voice used to become loud, and he used to give the speech like they said, like he was munziru jaysh, that he was warning that an army was going to come. The people felt like Jannah was in front of them and Jahannam was in front of them. That's when the Prophet used to give bayan. And people's hearts used to melt. And their eyes used to be, they used to drown in tears. Because when the Prophet used to give bayan. This is not about his bayan. This is about the everyday interaction that you and I have. This is bayan is one part of life. And just being a normal human being is the other part. That I can sit with people and I can talk with people and I can discuss with people. That's what we're going to learn here. The key principle of the Prophet's akhlaq is that he made everyone feel comfortable. Everyone felt comfortable. Everyone felt relaxed. And if one thing's about making everyone feel relaxed, the higher level is that everyone feels special. The Prophet ﷺ had that unique characteristic that everyone in his majlis would feel like they were the most special person to him. It's extraordinary. You're going to get the story in here, and you're going to be cracking up at the end of it. Because I always laugh when I hear it, right? And so it's not, in order to grab this idea, to get this sifa, it's very simple. The person in front of you, you should treat them like a person. Not a number, not a potential da'i or something like that. It's not, I just need to bring them to the masjid. No, no, no. They're a human being. Insan. They have problems. They have solutions. They have issues. They want someone that actually talks to them. The Prophet ﷺ was a key at that. He was a master at that. So if we treat people like numbers, oh, I got one more number into the halaqah, mashallah, great job. But that's not what the Prophet ﷺ was about. He treated everyone in front of them like who they were. It's not just a, you know, cut and paste thing. The Prophet ﷺ would deal with you like you are, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's how he was. And that's why people used to come attracted so much to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we'll notice this from the hadith that we're going to talk about here. Today we'll cover half of the chapter, and tomorrow we'll cover the next half, inshallah. Kharija bin Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu narrates, he says, An Kharija bin Zayd radiallahu anhu qala dakhala nafarun ala Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. A group of people came to Zayd radiallahu anhu and asked. So Kharija narrates, he's talking about his father. Kharija bin Zayd was one of the noble fuqaha scholars of Medina. They said that seven of the scholars of Medina were considered the people of fatwa. Kharija was one of them. And Kharija's father was Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. Zayd radiallahu anhu was narrating this hadith. So if you have a kid named Zayd, this is why you have a kid named Zayd. Okay, this is why. Other than the Prophet's own Mubarak foster adopted son, right? That's also another case. But this is also something you should remember about Zayd. Okay, who was he? So some people came to him and said, Hadithuni an ahadithi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadithna ahaditha Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remind everyone that if you hear the Prophet's name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? If we're here for dhikr, we should remember this important dhikr. So they said, tell us some details about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell us some details. Zayd radiallahu anhu said, Mada uhadithukum? What can I tell you? Beautiful, beautiful response. That, what can I describe to you? You ask me about the man that I live with, the man I was next to, the man that was there. What can I tell you about him? Words can only convey so much. You know, the feeling of the heart, the emotions we felt, all these feelings, how can we talk about these things? And that's the thing, that when we talk about the Prophet ﷺ, we're only getting a glimpse, very, very small detail about him, alayhi salatu wasalam. These words can't convey who he was, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So Zayd says this. He's like, look, what can I tell you about him? Kuntu jarahu, okay? He says, I was his neighbor. He's like, I'm his neighbor. I should probably know the most about him. But I can't, what can I really tell you? You know? And he said, how close was I? فَكَانِ إِذَا نَزَلَ عَلَيْهِ الْوَحِي. When revelation used to come to the Prophet ﷺ, بَعَثَ إِلَيَّ. He used to call me to come. فَكَتَبْتُهُ إِلَهُ. And I would write the revelation for him. This is how important Zayd is. You know him as the man who used to write down the wahi, the revelation of the Qur'an when it came down. When the Prophet ﷺ, when any ayats came down, he would call Zayd, come over. This is how close Zayd radiallahu anhu was to the Prophet ﷺ. That's why he tells you, what can I tell you about him? Because I spent so much time with this person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I can't explain him enough to you. So then he goes and says, and this is amazing, فَكُنَّا. He wanted everyone to remember one thing. He said, when we were, إِذَا ذَكَرْنَا الدُّنْيَا ذَكَرَهَا مَعَنَا. When we would talk about dunya, the Prophet ﷺ would talk about dunya with us. Astaghfirullah. How could you say that? Shaykh, Mawlana, are you saying this in the masjid? That we can talk about dunya? The Prophet says, I'm not saying it. Who's saying it? Zayd is saying it, radiallahu. He's making something so important, very clear to everyone. That deen is not just about talking about deen. You know, it's about talking about akhirah. You talk about akhirah all the time, like life is going to be very, very complicated for you. What do I mean by that? I'm not saying it's not, you should think about hereafter. We're always, our life is guided towards the hereafter. But sometimes you talk about cars. Sometimes you talk about sports. Sometimes you talk about this and that, right? I'm not saying the Prophet says, indulge in these things. But he can hold a conversation if you talk to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then if you're not going to believe me, let's keep going. Okay? Everyone okay? Ciao. وَإِذَا ذَكَرْنَا الْآخِرَةَ ذَكَرْنَاهَا مَعْنَا. And if we talk about the hereafter, he would talk about it with us. وَإِذَا ذَكَرَ الطَّعَامِ. And if we talked about food, ذَكَرَهَا مَعْنَا. He would mention it with us. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Okay, food. Come on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Umar radiallahu anhu said, that if we were to delve into the topics of food, we'd eat more fine cuisine than the people who are rulers of the world. Umar radiallahu anhu saying. But he said we left that though. Because why? Because we don't care about these things. They're saying that they know about these things, these ideas and concepts. So what happens? This is the model of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When someone comes in front of you and talks about a topic, you don't go and change the topic to something else. You talk about something associated with the topic. For example, if someone came to me about cars, I'd say, mashallah, you know, alhamdulillah, whatever I know, I don't know anything about cars. I don't know about two things. I don't know about cars or computers. So whenever someone comes to me and talks about cars or computers, I go, sami'na wa ata'na. You know, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. I don't know, but I want to listen. I want to learn. Maybe you can teach me something. And maybe I can teach you something in making the dua. Subhanalladhi sakharana hadha. Right? We can talk about the dua for driving. That's fine. When the Prophet says we talk about food, some people will come to him and talk about certain dishes. Then the Prophet will say, you want to know what the best dish is? He would say, the best dish is that which has vinegar in it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would tell them things that would help them. So he would be engaged. He wouldn't try to warp the topic. This is what we do. When someone comes in front of us, we go, Astaghfirullah, how dare he talk about that? I'm going to try my best to change it so that way this person feels so abused at the end of the talk. Because then they feel like, I came to talk about something nice. He talked about Jannah, Jahannam, and Akhirah, and I don't know what happened. You know? And that's fine. Look, there's a time and place for these things. But in reality, when the person comes to you and discusses, you talk with them too. Because then their hearts become closer. Because then that time will come when they want deen. And you are there. They'll say, I need to talk about this, so this person, this Mawlana is here. Mawlana Tariq Jameel Sahib has a very nice, you know, there was a YouTube clip of him. He talked about Amir Khan, right? Famous Bollywood actor, right? And so, Mawlana Tariq Jameel, this guy's talking to him first, you know, discussing and stuff like that. And what can you talk about deen to a person like that? So then he says, I knew things about Bollywood movies of old times, so I knew about those things, so I told him about those things. And then afterwards, this person, you know, they talked about Hajj for a little bit. Then Mawlana Tariq Jameel Sahib was able to talk to him for 2 hours about the Hajj of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you give people opportunities to be themselves, they'll give you a chance to talk about what you like too. And so that's the thing, that's the key here. This is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do. When people used to talk about dunya, it's like, okay, let's talk about it. If it's about akhirah, let's talk about it. If it's about food, let's talk about it. كُلُّ هَذَا أُحَدِّثُكُمْ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Zayd saying, this is what I tell you about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That people are missing today. And if we were like, oh man, I used to force everyone. MashaAllah, we can make tawbah and we can try now, right? Let's look at the next one, inshallah. An Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. If anyone wants to look on, you can join the Zoom if you want to see the hadith. Like, where is he getting all his information from? Okay? It's all there. Okay? Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Qala kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is amazing. Amr ibn al-As said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuqbil biwajihi wa hadithi ala sharri al-qawm yata'allafuhum bidhalik. The Prophet ﷺ would give attention and he would speak to the worst of the people and in a such a way that they would feel like the Prophet ﷺ would bring them closer through his attention. Okay? All you guys joined at the same time, so I had to allow all of you in. Okay, so Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu says, the Prophet ﷺ used to give attention and spoke and showed love to the worst of the people. When we see the worst of the people, we can't even get near the person because we smell the cigarette, or we smell the marijuana, or we smell the alcohol, or we smell the tattoos. But what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He smiled, he loved, he treated them so well and so nice, as if the person felt like they were the most special person. Not to, haram yani, haram yani, haram yani, hey, you haram, this haram, that haram, your whole face is haram, why you even come, you haram. Like we treat people so wrong. And look at this, Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu said, he used to give me such attention. فَكَانَ يُقْبِلُ وَجْهِ وَحَدِيثِ عَلَيَّ He used to give me such attention and love, حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ until I thought, أَنِّي خَيْرُ الْقَوْمِ He thought that I was the best of mankind. He's like, I was the best of the people. So then Amr ibn al-As رضي عنه, فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ He said, I decided to test one day, check, right? So he said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ am I better or Abu Bakr? Okay, so now here's the thing, you make people feel nice. You make them feel beloved and loved, whatever, but you don't lie. We never lie. If someone comes who's a really bad person, we treat them as respectful and loving as we can to hopefully their hearts come closer to deen. But we never lie in front of them. We never say what they're doing is right. We'll say that it's not correct, it's not whatever, if they ask. But if they don't ask, I'm not going to bring it up. So this is what he did. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, am I better Abu Bakr? Now is the Prophet going to lie? No, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet said, Abu Bakr. Then he's like, okay, I missed that one. Okay, let me try a second person. Ana khair am Umar. Or am I better Umar? And he said, Umar. And he's like, okay, let me try again. Ana khair am Uthman. Am I better or Uthman? So then, Uthman. And so it's one narration mentions that he kept asking and asking and asking until he's like, I don't think I'm on the list. I feel so bad for him. But he said, I kept asking and the Prophet told me the truth. فَصَدَقَنِي He kept telling me the truth. وَلَا وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَسْأَلْهُ لَمْ أَكُنْ سَأَلْتُهُ I wish I never even asked him. You know, he shows us that when people come to you, you treat them as such a way that they think they're the best of mankind. Really you do. But you don't lie to them. Don't tell them things are haram or you know, when things are haram, you tell them it's halal. We don't do that. We talk to them in such a way that they feel so comfortable. And you can do that. Talk to the things about they like and you'll see that inshallah. Okay? The third hadith we find, عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال خدمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 سنين The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Anas radiallahu anhu says, I served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. You might know this hadith very famously. فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَتُّ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said uff to me ever. He never said pff. And this is the 10 years that Anas radiallahu anhu is going through, the quote unquote worst years of modern life, which is what? Puberty. Right? These are the years when people hate these children. They don't want to be near these children. Like, oh God, this kid is complaining and yelling and shouting and barking and not listening and all these things. Right? In our time, and of course not in their time. But these are the years when the child is the least understanding, the least listening, right? You might think that the terrible twos are bad. Just wait till they get to terrible teens, right? Then you're going to see some musibah, right? That's what happens. And so Anas radiallahu anhu is going through that, and he's going to make lots of mistakes. Lots of mistakes are going to come. Every single day there are going to be mistakes. Then what happens is, though, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the servant. He is the servant of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, whenever I did anything that I made a mistake in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask, لِمَا فَعَلْتَ? Why did you do it? Whenever I didn't do anything, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say to me, لِمَا تَرَكْتَ? Why did you leave it? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always be, and why is it the case like this? Why is it the case? Because if it happens or not, who willed that it would happen or not? If it happens or not, who willed that it would happen or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is part of being pleased with Allah ta'ala. It's if you know that Allah is in control, then why are you complaining? What about a little child is doing? Because if it wasn't supposed to be, it wasn't supposed to be. That's how the Prophet ﷺ was. When Salama radiallahu anha was complaining at home about such and such and such and such, the Prophet ﷺ said, it's the qadr of Allah, what are you going to do? Right? This is what it means. Qadr Allah wa ma sha'a fa'al. Allah ta'ala willed, whatever He wants happened. Okay, if you're thinking I'm lying about this again, this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to never complain. To never shout, to never consider that, oh, okay, it could have been this and this and this. No, no, look, it didn't happen, it happened, okay? One time, mashallah, I was with one alim, and because we learn these sifat from what we see, right? And I tell you, my teachers, they all have the sifat, because I used to make a lot of mistakes. I still make a lot of mistakes, you know? And I just see them, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, kulli hal. You know, I'm like, oh man, I just destroyed everything. And you're saying, alhamdulillah, kulli hal. So I saw one time a glass of water spilled, that the Mawlana's glass of water spilled. I know at that time it's like WWE time. We're gonna knock this guy over, you know, World War VII in the masjid. Because how dare you knock down Maulana's glass? You know, a kid just dropped it. He's like, man, looks like the carpet was thirsty. He said, man, looks like the carpet was thirsty. You know, subhanAllah, he made the child feel so happy. So he kept coming back. You know, what we would do is get so upset, and then this person would never come back again. This is what it means when you don't complain. So Anas radiallahu anhu said, and wa kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam min ahsani nasi khuluqa, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best of character, had the best character amongst all people. I never felt silk or pure silk or anything softer than the palm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I never smelt any musk. Wa ma shamantu miskan wala atran. He said, I never smelled any musk wala itr, and no other fragrance more sweet smelling than the sweat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He'd only talk about the Prophet in such beautiful ways. Because why? He treated him so well, you know? Then the kid remembers these things for a lifetime. You'll do a lot of good things in life. I promise you, you'll do a lot of good things in life, mashallah. But that one bad thing you did, that person will remember forever. If you don't believe me, just get married. You won't believe me. Okay, I'm just joking. It's a joke. Okay, don't kill me. Okay. But that one bad thing, they will remember. And if you think that's a side effect of marriage, it's not a side effect of marriage. It is the same byproduct what you find in the masajid too. That this person will be treated well every single halaqah. That one time you treated him bad, he never comes back anymore. Oh, I hate that masjid because why? Oh, that person yelled at me. Oh, I was so disrespected. They didn't treat me right. Okay, everyone's a slave of Allah. Everyone gets the same treatment here. You know, like, it's the same, doom, wajib, I give you the same food, doom. You know, like, it's the same food. You know, mashallah, good or bad, whatever, right? Allah Ta'ala knows best. But I know people want to be special. Everyone wants to be the special snowflake. I can make you feel like that. If I can make you feel like that and you come back, alhamdulillah, my job is done. I don't care anymore. Okay? Inshallah, we'll just do one more, inshallah Ta'ala, for today, okay? Anas radiallahu anhu said, this is, again, extraordinary. Every single hadith in here is a gem. عن أنس رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان عنده رجل به أثر صفرة. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said there was a man with him who had the أثر صفرة. He had some yellow color perfume. Okay. So Islamically speaking, you're not allowed to have any. A man should not wear any fragrance which leaves a dye or a color on his body. It's makruh tahrimi for a person in our madhab to do that. So you should be very careful of that. Women folk can do it, of course, because henna, etc., they wear it, and all these things leave that. That's completely fine for them. But for men, it should not be. Okay? So a man came like this to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I'll give you the modern perspective, right? A guy with like 50 tattoos comes into the masjid. You see him head to toe with tattoos. What do you do? Right? So this is what you need to understand. Take this hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a sample, what you need to do. So that he was sitting with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look, if you and I don't like haram, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam absolutely hates it. It's against his mizaj, his fitra is against it. He cannot even be with somewhere with this haram. You know the famous thing about pictures at home, right? When the Prophet ﷺ saw curtains with images on them at his home, the Prophet ﷺ said, I'm not stepping foot in this door until you rip it off. You know, the Prophet ﷺ was very, very serious about these things. A man comes in with haram on him, and then the Prophet ﷺ sees him. What does the Prophet ﷺ do? وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يَكَادُ يُوَاجِهُ أَحَدًا بِشَيْءٍ يَكْرَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ would never address someone with things they disliked. If the person came in with these things, the Prophet would sit down and smile and laugh and talk to them. As if nothing was wrong. He would never say something that would offend them. So if this is something that they did, and it'd be very shameful in front of everyone to mention this thing, the Prophet would stay completely silent. So he didn't say anything about it. To the point when that person, فَلَمَّا قَامَ, and I'll explain it in a second, قَالَ لِلْقَوْمِ, when the person left, Rasulullah said to the people, لَوْ قُلْتُمْ لَهُ يَدْعُ هَذِي السُّفْرَةِ. Why don't you guys say something? Why didn't you guys say something? What does this mean? It means that first and foremost, why did the Prophet not say anything? Because sometimes this happens, right? Your family member is doing the most haram nikah that you know. The biggest wedding that you can imagine. I don't know how many lakh taka or rupees you want to spend on it. But they did that type of wedding. Music and everything and the dancing and everything, right? And in that moment, you go to them and you go and say, Yani, this is, you at the wedding, you tell them this is haram. Is this the right place? It's not the right place. It's not the right time. It's not right. What are you going to do? They're going to get so upset, they'll say, no. It's completely fine. And what did you actually do then? You push. What I tell brothers, when they tell me, should I advise them? I said, don't advise them. Because why? Because you push them down a deeper hole. What is a deeper hole? Before they were doing a sin, and maybe they could have made tawbah. Now you made them say the sin is okay. And that's a bigger sin than the first one. We have to be very careful with our words. If you're considered a dini person in your family, what you say has a lot of weight. Lots of weight. And people are looking to turn around, turn against you as fast as they can. So be very careful when you say something. That's why the Mawlana doesn't want to say anything. I very rarely ever tell someone something's haram, because I just don't want to do it. Because if I say it, like something, you know, if any alim listening, if you say it, people are going to take it as kalamullah. And when you say it, then people's hearts can get affected. So we want someone else, like small, like, you know, one regular guy, like, can you take him to the side and just explain it? You know, nicely explain it, but don't yell at them or criticize them. The Prophet ﷺ wanted that. Because if you were to say something, then it would affect them. So the Prophet ﷺ was concerned about a person's deen. Be careful of their iman. My final thing, inshallah. Be careful of their iman. When you want to tell someone about something which is haram, be very careful. Because if you were to tell them it's haram, or push them away, and push them so hard, then they don't really want to come anymore. They don't want to see you anymore. They don't want to talk about it anymore. So now this one opportunity you got to tell them about one haram thing, you ruined a lifetime of da'wah. A lifetime of da'wah. They would have come to you every single day or every single week or every single month to talk about these things. They would have invited you to every single wedding. And you could have talked about things here and there. But because you said one thing, you're never getting on the invite list anymore. You're no longer there. So we want to be very careful with our words, inshallah. This was the way the Prophet ﷺ was. We ask Allah for the hidayah and tawfiq. And inshallah, we'll have this program every single day for this week, inshallah ta'ala. Again, not too long. I don't want to miss you guys, miss your dinner. Right, inshallah. Okay. So that way you guys can enjoy it, inshallah, and be smiling and happy with your families, inshallah, when you get home. Right? And let things go and pardon them, inshallah. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. We'll see everyone tomorrow. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Jazakum khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.